In today's passage, we have Jesus on the road. He is traveling. A man runs up to him. And everyone has to ask, as we do today, why is this guy running? And why is he advancing excitedly toward Jesus? What does he want? Then we are told, this guy kneels down in front of Jesus. I want to give him a name. I think he deserves it for what we learned from this encounter. I'll call him Scooter. We figure out that something is important in Scooter's mind. What is it? Is he sorry for something? Why is he running? And why does he kneel? Because he's in front of Jesus, it's hard for Jesus to continue walking. So Jesus stops, looks at him, and listens to him. We do know now what and learn from what is on this man's mind. He wants to know how he can obtain eternal life. The majority of biblical translations actually use the word inherit. He wants to know how to inherit eternal life. So whether Scooter used the word inherit or obtain, what he is really asking is how will he be gifted eternal life by God? How can he receive eternal life from God? So before we continue with what Jesus told this kneeling man, I want to go to what happened in one of the other gospel stories. When John the Baptist was standing with two of his disciples, one of whom was named Andrew, and Andrew had a companion, a buddy. It was then that Jesus walked by, and that's when John the Baptist said, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." What Andrew and his buddy then did is they started to follow Jesus. Jesus realized someone was behind them, turned and saw them following him, and he said, "What are you looking for?" Their response was interesting, because what they did is they turned to Jesus and they said, "Teacher, where are you staying?" And Jesus responded, "Come and see." And they did. They remained with Jesus most of that day until later on in the evening, and then Andrew went to find his brother, and you know this guy, Simon Peter, and he brought Simon Peter to meet Jesus. All of those people at that time, these three people and all of the people, recognized Jesus as a teacher, a rabbi, a good man. However, John the Baptist recognized Jesus as the Lamb of God. People flocked at that time to hear Jesus. And in this particular passage, I really like the words and the question that Jesus asked. It's an intriguing question. What are you looking for? Now, Andrew responded to that question. He saw something different, special, singular in Jesus. And Andrew was obviously extremely impressed by what he heard from Jesus. And so he went to his brother and called Simon Peter. Simon Peter took his brother's advice, met, and then encountered Jesus. And we know that Simon Peter not only followed Jesus for the rest of his life, he died in Jesus' name. So let's go back to the man who runs up to Jesus, Scooter. He kneels before Jesus and he calls Jesus the same thing, a teacher, a rabbi. So Jesus answers Scooter's question on how to gain eternal life. He tells him, "The Torah guides all. Follow the commandments." But Scooter wants more. He wants more than what he considers a mere recitation of the Torah. So Scooter, kneeling before Jesus, pushes Jesus for more. But when he hears what Jesus tells him, he's shocked. So shocked, he leaves grieving. With grief. Grieving because he's losing something. So I ask, well, is he losing something and grieving because he's not having the closeness with Jesus that he wants? Or is he grieving for other reasons? From the Gospels, we can infer that Andrew and Simon Peter and all of the other companions did follow Jesus' advice. They did give up their possessions. But Scooter did not want to give up this stuff. Now, this is a hard story to hear. I find it very hard for me to hear. I have many possessions. I own stuff. In fact, I like stuff. I like to walk through Mayfair Shopping Center and Target and Costco and Ace Hardware. I visited the new Container Store and going back. Nordstrom is opening soon. So I try to wiggle through a little bit of what Jesus said, somewhat, because I would like to believe that the stuff does not own me, but rather I own stuff. I strive to understand the difference between being owned and owning. And over the course of years, I've owned many dogs. They looked up to me. I was their master. I was their keeper. But we've also owned many cats throughout our marriage, and our current cat is named Bo, all 17 pounds of him. And as you probably know, cats keep and own people. We are the servants of cats. No one owns a cat. And when people say that cats are domesticated animals, I think what they're really saying is that we are domestics to cats. And perhaps this is a poor way of my explaining the concept between being owned and owning, but my poor example. So I know the stuff that I own is really stuff that gives me utility or pleasure or both. But I also realize that if I ever hold a thing so close to me that it owns me, I'm in trouble. And I think this is one way of explaining Jesus' statements to Scooter in our modern age, an age of consumerism, materialism, and capitalism. In the United States, we have lots and lots of stuff and money. So where can I turn to then to follow Jesus as Scooter wanted to? And one way, I think, is to continue to ask the question that Jesus asked of Andrew and his buddy, what are you looking for? For this is the basic question in life. What are we looking for? When we approach Jesus, do we approach him as teacher, as our teacher? And if we want to learn from him, what do we want him to tell us? Or do we not want to listen to him? Will we be like the kneeling Scooter who was shaken and upset when he heard Jesus' stunning response to his own question? And will we, like Scooter, be grieved and saddened at what Jesus tells us? Or like Andrew and Peter, will we listen and learn and then, like Andrew, tell our friends and invite them to come and meet and encounter this Jesus and stay with him? And if we do, isn't Jesus the riches that we're looking for? I find it interesting that when Jesus recites the specific Torah commandments to Scooter, that Jesus does not recite all of them. Jesus picks certain commandments. He deals with murder and why people murder. He deals with adultery, which has an interesting turn in that culture because when the bride came to marry the groom, there was a transfer of wealth. Sheep, camels, gold, a transfer of wealth. Jesus reminds Scooter that he should never steal. He should not give false testimony. And this ties into possessions also. And he also says, don't cheat. And he reminds Scooter to honor his father and mother. And that again ties into possessions. Because the original commandment in the Torah is this, and I'll make it communal. Honor our fathers and mothers so that our days may be long in the land that the Lord is giving us. And how are days long? They're long because they're prosperous. When Scooter was kneeling before Jesus, was it possible that Jesus was looking so intently into Jesus' eyes and then into his soul and saw his very soul? And then did Jesus realize how much Scooter's stuff owned him and also how Scooter owned and obtained and kept his wealth? When I read and reread this story, I thought about the presumptuous question that Scooter asked. I find it quite bold, because the question was not what can I do to obtain eternal life. He wanted to know how can I obtain it? How can I inherit it? How can I receive it? How can it be gifted to me? These words are important because they're all very passive. This guy, Scooter, wants assurance from Jesus that somehow he will automatically gain something he wants, eternal life, and possibly take his possessions with him. The people at that time knew of the pharaohs and the Egyptian pyramids, and maybe he, just like the Egyptian pharaohs, wanted to take his possessions with him into everlasting life. Everlasting life with lots of stuff. So I want to return to Jesus' question, because he's not asking it of Andrew and his buddy or Simon Peter, but he's asking the question of you and I. What are we looking for? And in my case, I can say, well, am I looking for peace, connection with the divine, personal holiness? Am I looking for an answer to loneliness or emptiness of soul? Do I want to realize more out of life about community, love, God's love, acceptance? And then as a church community here today, what are we looking for? Ability to do more in a church? Great music? A beautiful nave to worship in? Meaningful sermons? What was Andrew looking for when he said he heard that this is the Lamb of God? Was he looking for fame, wealth, power, prestige? Remember that when Scooter knelt before Jesus, he also called Jesus good. And Jesus responded to him and said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." So by refusing to be labeled good, what Jesus is really showing is that he was not interested personally in fame or wealth or power or prestige. Jesus had only one aim in mind, and that was to enter the kingdom of God and to do so at any cost. Jesus lived in pure humility. He knew who he was in relation to God the Father. And I think today, in today's socioeconomic times, the same kind of humility is called for in knowing who we are in relation to our God, our Father, and therefore in also knowing how we obtain the stuff we own, and to know that the stuff we really own is really owned by God. And we're just servants of that stuff. And as servants, we have a very serious obligations of the stuff, obligations of mercy and stewardship and justice and discipleship. Sometimes throughout history, in Jesus' time and into our own, there's the idea floating around that wealthy people are blessed and poor people are not. This is called currently the gospel of prosperity, or the prosperity gospel. It's a false theology. It's not a gospel theology. It makes money an idol. And the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, constantly condemns idolatry. And I firmly believe that what Jesus was teaching in this passage to Scooter was that the gospel of prosperity is not true, but rather idolatry is wrong. I feel part of the reason Scooter was surprised by Jesus' response to him was that he thought his wealth somehow made him a better person, and because he was a better person, he had an inner track to inherit eternal life. And Jesus counters him. He says, by inferring that wealth by itself does not make you more worthy to be gifted anything, including eternal life. What Jesus basically said was, nope, the poor may even have a better chance at it. What may or may not have been recorded in this episode is that everyone who was listening to Jesus as Scooter asked the question remembered all of the commandments of the Torah, and especially the very first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." And even in verse 20 of today's reading, we then have Scooter giving a self-justifying response. "I have kept all of these commandments since I was born." And I think that sense of self-righteousness by Scooter is really what got Jesus. Now, Jesus himself, instead of relying on money or idolatry or self-righteousness, even though he was the anointed one of God, Jesus totally relied on his Father's power. We go to the Garden of Gethsemane the night before Jesus was arrested, the night Jesus was arrested. And that's when Jesus prayed, "Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." Jesus gave all power to his Father, our Father. And in doing so, Jesus was humble. Jesus did not rely on the artificialities of life, but rather relied on union with God as the fulfillment of life itself. Scooter, I think, may have been relying on his wealth, which is really an artificiality of life. Essential, yes. Essential in our society, but not what leads us to eternal life. And that's the difference. Ultimately, I feel I must rely on what Jesus told his disciples after the kneeling, questioning man, Scooter, who owned many possessions left. It was then that the apostles were greatly astounded at what Jesus had said, and as I am today, and you are also. Because they then turned to Jesus and said, well, who can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and announced, for mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible. Therefore, what can you and I do? We follow the commandments. We try to strive to do the right thing. But we must continue in life throughout every year to reflect and answer the question that Jesus touched our very souls on, and that is, what are you looking for? And then we, with God's love and with faith in God and hope in God's power, can make all things possible. We use our wealth for God's kingdom. We are fiduciaries for what we have received. We hold all of our blessings, including our monetary blessings, in trust for God. And I think this is Jesus' message. Not to rely on stuff, not to let stuff own us, but to share and to know that because we have stuff, we're not more worthy than anyone else. We are to remember the first of the commandments when the Lord declared, you shall have no other gods before me. Jesus had no other gods before him. He knew what true wealth was, to live in God's love with supreme faith and ultimate hope. With this understanding of Jesus, I think each of us can attempt to answer the question that Jesus posed, because it is really the question we have to ask ourselves from a very young age until a very, very old age, until our dying breath. What are you looking for? So I stand before you with the same question in my heart, in my soul, in my mind. What am I looking for? And with your kind permission, I have to ask you the same thing. Because in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, what are you looking for? That's the question that Jesus asked. It's a very simple question, but yet a very hard question. Amen.
We come now to that time of our worship together for silent and personal prayers. And this morning we not only continue to surround with our prayers our organist Tom Gregory and Don Hench, but we also surround the family of Janice Wittig, who passed away on October 8th. Janice, I believe, was our longest member of the church and a neat lady. She's the mother of Scott Wittig and grandmother of Lindsay DeFau and sister of Barb Lindahl. The visitation for Janice will be held in Friendship Lounge this Wednesday, October 14th, from 5 until 6:30, with a memorial service to follow here in the nave at 6:30. So please continue to surround the Wittig family with your prayers. These and the unspoken loved ones of your hearts and your minds.